Okay. Hi.
Good morning. I'm Kevin. I'm a grateful sex and love addict. Good to see y'all. Thanks for having me here to speak. Thanks for all our service. Welcome to anyone who's new. I have the pre-share jitters a bit. I want to come off funny and cool and recovered, and my head's all about that right now, so I'm just trying to call that out and turn it over. I've been, just some quick, like, introduction stuff. So I've been coming really consistently to SLAA since May of 2015. In March, God willing, I'll have 5 years of sobriety off bottom lines. My bottom lines are no porn, no sex industry stuff, and basically anything I wouldn't do in front of my partner, no behavior or anything like that that I wouldn't want her to know about. And bottom lines have changed over the years. I've done the sober dating thing and program with a lot of help, both soberly and very not soberly. I think, you know, if you have one takeaway, it's like, keep coming back. Cause my experience has been like through slips and taking my will back and full on relapse and all the things, like if I kept coming back, it slowly got better. And I've experienced miracles where porn addiction, for example, like that's just, it's been really lifted, and it's, you know, I'd have to keep coming back and working program. It's not, I don't graduate from this stuff, but I've just had such miraculous shifts for me, and I want more. That's why I keep coming back. I'll kind of loosely follow like the what it was like, and you know what it's like now format. You know, when we were reading the 12 questions earlier, I was like joking inside of my head of like, yeah, that was me. And also like at the time, like it just felt normal. It's like, well, doesn't everyone do that? Don't you all feel empty when you're not like with someone? And I've learned like, oh no, that's for me is my addiction. That's my thing. And, you know, there's that analogy of like, it was, you know, asking a fish, how's the water sort of thing for me back then. Cause it's just like, that was my coping mechanism. That was my whole life strategy, like it talks about in the book. And, you know, for me, through all the step work and therapy and all the things, like, I the best way I can sum it up today anyways is, like, I grew up in the, you know, family where there's a, for sure, the family disease of alcoholism. Plenty to talk about there. But, like, essentially, I got the I'm not enough core message, or this God-sized hole, and I was warned about drugs and alcohol, so I steered clear of that for a while. And it became, for me, like it became when I got my first girlfriend, like somewhere around the age of 11, 12, and then when I found porn a few years before that, and like those became my coping mechanisms. And they were two very separate things of like this secretive sex life filled with shame and all this stuff, and then like this desperate need to be like in a relationship with someone. And that's like the template of my disease, and it just got worse and more progressive every year as I got older and just progressed through my life. My first bottom, I had all crossed all these moral lines in the sand. If you've heard me talk about it before, you've heard this whole thing, but like I had the I'll never pay for sex, and then found myself paying for sex. I'll never cheat, and I found myself cheating. And at the time, you know, the insanity for me of the disease is justifying it, and just like a real like almost denial of like I'm not doing that, but I'm doing that. Like I'm cheating. I have had this whole separate life, all this stuff. So first real bottom was like 2011. I checked out program for a while. I hated it. I had lots of like other little mini bottoms after that. And then thought I had this thing. I was like, okay, cool. I've got some awareness around this. I wasn't really doing service. I wasn't getting as much out of the meeting. So I slowly faded away out of program and then had another big bottom. And so that's when I really came back in May of 2015. And so, you know, while I used to be kind of envious of the stories I heard of people that would come in and just like, oh, yep, I just got sober and have been sober since, that's not my experience. It took what it took for me. And I have like a strong sense of stubbornness and my own self-will and wanting to do things my way, and hesitance to share, hesitance to be part of. I want to be separate or do it all on my own and not be seen. And so I'm still like slowly in other areas of my, learning to like just open my mouth to tell the truth, to be part of. And it takes, you know, I affirm everyone who's here, it takes a lot of courage to come to these meetings and to speak honestly. And I'm still learning that in lots of other areas of my life. So anyways, that's what it was like. That's what got me here. I like to talk about higher power a little bit because I was pretty borderline atheist when I came in. I went to school for engineering, so it was very much like, if you can't measure it and add it up, and if you can't calculate it, it's not real. And so I heard people talk about God. I was in meetings and churches, which I had a resentment against. But I heard some things that opened my mind to it. Like, one, I heard people with my story that, like, they were crazy the way I was crazy, and now they're not doing that one day at a time. And I heard some really, intro versions of higher powers that were helpful for me. If you've heard me speak, I've said this 1,000 times, but, like, I heard someone share their higher power was, like, Bill Murray in Frosty the Snowman. So mine became Arnold Schwarzenegger and the really friendly custodian at work. And, like... I don't know. It was stupid. But it worked. And slowly, my higher power today has, like, very non-linearly increased to, like, a really, like, real deal kick-ass higher power that actually loves me, actually cares about me, and that I can turn all these areas of my life over to that I still want to put my claws of control on, namely, like, career, money, what people think of me, all that stuff, material security, or any flavor of security, really, because all of my sort of, like, when I wake up, there's, like, just this fear of, like, I gotta control everything, or something bad's gonna happen, or whatever. And so, like, yeah, my higher power today is a really loving higher power that's got me, and I can turn to, and that's amazing, and I could talk about that for a long time, but what my experience in getting there has been, it was a really low, kind of like, not low, that's not the right word, but introductory higher power of just like, maybe, sort of thing. And that's what worked for me. And I love a lot of the AA literature. It talks about how it's a really like wide hoop to walk through. It doesn't have to be the big, you know, big higher power to start out with. So anyways, I just, that's been my experience with that. And as a result of that, I learned that the isms I have through doing the step work, learning about my character defects, and I'll try to talk about that a little bit. It's not a Kevin fixing Kevin job because Kevin's sick. that's the whole deal. I can't do it. So by really like trusting that there's a power greater than myself and. Spending a lot of time on the phone with fellows and being suggested often to do nothing. Like whenever I have a crisis, which is, you know, not usually a crisis, but in my head it is, I'll do outreach and I'll talk to people. And often what's suggested is like, yeah, don't do any of that stuff you're thinking about doing. Like sit with your feelings, do some sort of top line, take care of yourself, take a nap or whatever. And like, see what happens. And there's just been so many examples over the years of like, when I do that or like imperfectly try to do that at least, or make progress in that, stuff just works out. And I don't get it. I still don't really get it. But I learned that like, if I can put in those, you know, that pause before stimulus and reaction, that's a big part of where recovery is for me, and that's where a big part of where my higher power can enter. And so much of recovery these days for me is like, you know, trigger or whatever. It's usually some sort of like shame-based thing of like, oh, I don't look good at work, or I have a story in my head that my partner's not happy with me at the moment. Like, and so how do I like not go crazy and act on that? Because for me, like, that the disease does not want to feel any of that stuff. And in the past, I would act out over all that because I didn't want to feel any of that. I'm a bit scatterbrained today, but the things I want to talk a little bit more about are like the character defects I've become aware of and just like awareness in general. And then sobriety, I'll go a little out of order and probably mix around. But for a while in my recovery, like I didn't, One, thanks to sobriety was possible because I kept slipping or just felt impossible. And thanks. I've got five left. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Or I just like, I was afraid. I was afraid sobriety was going to be boring. Yeah. And I said so many times in like the first few years of recovery, like, listen, I don't want to be the crazy addict who's like looking at porn and hiring prostitutes and hiding it and trying to be in a relationship. Like, okay, cool. I don't want to do that, but I don't want to be a monk. Like, I don't want to be so pure. Like, so that was my, like, a lot of my resistance to program and fear, sobriety and all that. And, you know, lately I've been really like, one thing my sponsor's really been helping me out with, like, even in the, you know, worst of days, and I use air quotes because it's like, it's usually just my own experience around like, oh, so much of the stuff is happening, or my family's crazy right now, and it's bad. And it's, I don't know if it's bad, and maybe it's just leading to good things, right? But my internal experience is like, oh, I have a rough day, or I just feel like totally wiped, or like, this is just kicking my ass. He'll still remind me of like, cool, well, did you get to the day sober? It's like, well, yeah, yeah. He's like, fucking great, like gold star. And that's such a helpful reframe for me because, you know, I still have like the perfectionism or wanting to do stuff. Yeah, just wanting to be perfect, or I can still get frustrated about like how the outside world occurs to me or what's actually happening. And, you know, it's such a simplified thing, which I find a lot of recovery is simple. A lot of up here is complex. But it's like, oh, right, I literally got through the day sober. Okay, cool. And that's all I gotta do tomorrow? Okay. Okay, cool, I can do that. And you know, it's such like a profound thing for me because for so long I couldn't do that. And I had like, well, no interest in it, but also like just this feeling of powerlessness of like, I can't. I tried all these like, you know, willpower, whatever method to like not do that stuff anymore. So yeah, I mean, just coming up with a lot of like profound gratitude just for sobriety. And, you know, again, I've said it a bunch of times, like I did not do this program perfectly and I had so many slips and, you know, all that. But like, it's what I find in sobriety is one, it's actually not boring. And it like just leads to like all these other opportunities for, you know, awareness of like, what are these patterns, or maybe it's a good segue into character defects, all these things in my life which are usually fear-driven that I'm not aware of, but like drive my life and actually kind of rob me of joy of actually like living. I didn't see that when I first came out. I was just like, no, I just want to like find a way to keep getting the hit I get from acting out, but like not have it cause wreckage. That's really what I wanted. And so, yeah, so, you know, through staying sober and sometimes like not emotionally sober at all, but like just sober off bottom lines, and doing step work and service and all the things we do, all the tools, I'm really just learning, I guess, about like my character defects and how they still show up at work, or how they show up in my relationship, or how they show up in like things I want to do in life, or friendships. You know, one of the big things lately, just like kind of back around the new year of like intentions for this year, was to like not chase. And I've been really seeing that like in just as a pattern in some friendships of like, oh, I've got to like get these people to like me because I admire them, or I look up to them, or they have something I admire. And like unconsciously, I'm like, oh, if I can just get them to like me, or if I'm around them, then I'll kind of covet that, or I'll get that thing they have, or whatever. And it's more recent. Thanks. I've got 1 minute. Okay, cool. I'll try to wrap this up. It's a more recent thing I'm learning through step work, and it's you know, it's deep, and it's challenging to like admit that, but it's also very rewarding because it's like, now that I see that, oh right, I'm doing that thing again. Okay, cool. I don't have to do that, and I can have that new experience of just trusting my higher power, trusting I'm enough as I am, and not like manipulating, controlling, trying to get, you know, what I think I need to have to be safe. I can actually be safe through just being with my higher power and just being sober and all that. So I don't know if any of that made sense, but I'm coming up on my time, and I guess I'll just wrap with like main takeaways for me has been like, keep coming back. And yeah, just thanks for letting me share. Appreciate it.